This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Political killings ahead of an election. It's an election story at the end of the day. KZN SALGA chairperson Tami Ntuli. Now, if there is one person that has been raising the concern about either the province, KZN, the concern about SALGA, and also then the concern around political killings, assassinations, and the likes in the province, the sort of engagement with the police, the problems that politicians engage, and the problems around why we see the particular political violence, then look no further than Tami Ntuli. He is, of course, the SALGA chairperson in KZN. He has been raising it forever and a day. He's been talking about the clashes between political party supporters. He's, of course, also been talking about the murder of councillors. Recently, the last time we also then spoke, we were talking about an engagement of assassinations, particularly in the province of KZN, where assassinations were the leading cause, if I remember correctly, leading cause of death amongst officials and councillors in that particular province. Well, May the 29th is pretty much upon us. 28 days, basically, to the 29th of May. And, of course, SALGA has been making statements also around the effectiveness of the police in that particular province. And if it's that province, then we can talk about it nationally as well. Tami Ntuli, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. Let me say, welcome again, sir. How are you?
No, good evening to yourself and the listeners. I'm fine. I hope yourself and the team there in the studio are also fine.
We would have had you yesterday, Tami, but we had technical issues, so apologies for that. It was a conversation we should have had yesterday, but here we are today, and maybe it's even, you know, more appropriate today. The lines are good. We can hear each other. Tami Ntuli, from SALGA also, you and SALGA have been beating this drum for a long time. You've been talking about clashes, violent clashes. You've been talking about political parties and their behavior. You've been talking and questioning the effectiveness of the police. You've been raising, and you've also just been talking also about statements made by political leaders suggesting that, you know, they exacerbate the situation. It's a drum you've been beating for a long, long time, but it's a drum that you have to beat.
Yeah, definitely. And the listeners, it's a very important subject. Mm. In fact, not as a matter of only beating the drum, but as a matter of making an important call to our people in the province that we all need to stand against any violence and intimidation. Because you recall that previously I mentioned that not only the politicians, religious and traditional leaders are victims of the assassinations, but even the ordinary citizens, wherein one was calling for all of us to play our role in ensuring that we refrain from statements that will aggravate this kind of violence, and to even stand together against the kind of the violence for the sake of the people, for the sake of the prosperity of our municipalities. Because when the environment is free of the assassinations, that will be the evidence of the stability, which will have a good outcome for the ordinary citizens. Hence, now we are approaching the election period. There are incidents that one is just receiving in the past few days, suggesting that they really still don't understand the call we are making. That is a call for people to participate in the democratic processes without any form of intimidation and without any form of violence. So it's a call which is important, which we must keep on making until we come to a point wherein everyone is aware that this is not what we aspire to see in our country and in our province. In fact, as a matter of fact, no one is actually blamed here. Not even the police are actually blamed. I know that they are doing a lot. They've made a number of arrests. Though we still maintain that we all need to help the police as members of the society and leaders of the society in arresting this kind of the violence. However, we also believe that there is support in terms of certain skills, which still, if they can be offered to the police, especially on the issues of investigating and being able to bring the evidence that will prove to the courts of any suspects on the typical kind of assassination beyond a reasonable doubt that a person indeed there is evidence enough for the court to be able to convict. I think these are the issues we have been making a call around, not for the sake of making noise. As SALGA, in fact, we believe that these things impact directly in local government, since you recall that most of the political leaders that are always reported to have been victims are those who are in a local government, in particular the councillors. Hence, as SALGA, we are the one who have been much vocal on the subject to call for everyone to stand together so as to ensure that we try and fight this kind of the killings.
Tami and Tuli, how much of it have you maybe worked out? Because I do know that as SALGA also, you time and again give, you know, numbers, and maybe you don't in this particular instance, but maybe you can just, you know, in the way you answer the question, give us an understanding of it. There's the issue of political contestation and people who sloganeer and you know, who want their candidate to win and begin to engage in, you know, in various forms of language and the other. And that is the political campaign in essence, and how, you know, that campaign can lead then and aggravate instances of violence, one group against the other, one political party against the other. There's that one political part. But there's the one that you also then talk a lot about, which is the lucrative positions, in essence, that people do then hold within government. And these positions then, you know, are lucrative in the sense that people want to occupy them. When do you differentiate, or do you differentiate in essence? And maybe, you know, I'm trying to work out a scale. How much is it because of the lucrative positions that are available and people are, you know, killing each other because of that particular aspect, which is money and greed, in essence, and the mere political aspect that we might have seen in the 90s, where it was political violence, but not so much associated to the lucrative aspect of the position that was held?
Well, there are two sources of our view in terms of the rationale towards this kind of the assassinations. The first source is the Morane Commission, which we believe that what they actually presented to us as the South African had more evidence on it, because they spent time, they interviewed different political parties and even the ordinary members of the society and the security cluster to create an understanding as to what is it that will be, in fact, found by the investigators when suspects are brought to court, that made the Morane Commission to have some findings on the causes, which we still maintain that even now they dominate such as the issue of contestation within a same political party, finding that when someone was defeated during the democratic process of electing someone to become a councillor, one who was defeated will not rest until that one is eliminated through assassination, with the hope of getting an opportunity. And the issues around the tenders, wherein when someone is vocal on the wrongdoings, will be eliminated. Do you remember some of the cases that I will be not mentioning of the prominent leaders, especially a youth leader, where we learned as the members of the society that it was because of an alarm he was raising on the issues around corruption. But we are also aware of the fact that the way leaders, it could be just ordinary political leaders who are serving in structures, they articulate issues or they represent issues in the society, may escalate issues of violence. You recall the incidents wherein in a traditional function, a political leader grabbed a mic from the traditional prime minister in a disrespectful way. And we got a report subsequent to that incident that some members of the society, I think they were wearing the colors of a certain political party, they were attacked. So there are some of the incidents which one has been cautioning that is important, that as leaders of the society, is important that also ourselves, we must be cautious on how we actually address political issues, or we make political statements so that we will try to advance tolerance within the society.
Let me, you know, Tammy, I've just in the top of my head, I've got a few questions that I want to ask, and let me just rattle them off. Is it about the caliber of our officials, our politicians, that in essence, you know, we need to engage as well? I know that, you know, there's been a particular call for a stringent minimum requirements for appointing officials in some of these positions. So, you know, it minimizes contestation, so that if you know that you don't qualify, you wouldn't be, in essence, you know, but because everybody can qualify, you know, it's an open-ended space. So is it about the caliber of our officials and politicians that we're talking about? But I also just want to raise this particular issue with you. Politicians aside, park politicians and the officials and the sloganeering and all of that aside, how much, Tammy and Dooley, is there an element of business and syndicates that sit on the side who are not politicians, who are not engaged in the political space, but of course have an interest in the business part of who gets into it, and then will determine and want to determine who that particular person is that gets into it? There's a difference between politicians who are contesting for a particular position to the extent that they engage in violence, but it's more worrisome if that particular violence is perpetrated by a third party who sits outside of the game and who then determines through violence who the person is that gets those particular positions, because they have an interest.
You are quite right, Denzel. Number one, the issue of qualifying to be elected into a position of being a councillor, the way it is such open, it allows any person and every citizen, if you believe that you can influence the members of the society, they elect you. There is no background check in terms of the history of an individual. And even when they contest unsuccessfully, you'll find that the process is such open in such a way that anyone can try to grab an opportunity, and all to find that a person's caliber is not the good caliber when is defeated, will result in using this way of eliminating other people. And also on the issue of the third party, I also agree. You see, I know of a case where in one of the municipalities in the province, a councillor was killed around the issues of the tenders. Though the case, we have not got the final outcome of the case, but the information suggested that there was a third party with an external interest to what was taking place in the ward. As a result, the councillor who was trying to be involved either in a correct way or not in a correct way got himself being killed. So I agree fully that there are also external factors, of which if as the people of the province we can stand together in any crime or in any violence or assassination, I want to believe that we can work together to defeat. And I think even the way we think is also quite very important to have morals so that we will understand what is not good for the society and what is right for the society. It's not that everything is not right. The majority of the people are quite peaceful and progressive, and they understand the democratic processes. I want to believe that some work have been done by political parties to actually educate their members, though not to the extent in which the Morane Commission recommended, wherein everyone will really stand together to ensure that whoever might not understand and use the wrong means to try and eliminate those that they are contesting with will not, in fact, be successful in doing so. I believe that something has been done, and we still need to do more until we realize a peaceful a period pre-elections and even post-elections.
Tammy, I was about to engage you, and you've answered half the question in essence. I was going to ask you whether political parties were, you know, in reference to, you know, their language and their activity and the way they operate, beginning to engage in a more democratic space towards its other, and whether you could see that, you know, beginning to take, you know, a foot in some of the instances. But I do want to ask you the question then in relation to that is the political will to want to actually, let me just deal with KZN, for example, the political will to want to deal with it, having an understanding of what violence in a democratic space actually means. Why is there this minimal political will or this not wanting to engage fully in something where we have an understanding that, you know, political education leads to less violence and leads to a better process? Why is there, if we understand that principle, if we understand that political education will lead to less and less and less of the other, why are we not, as political parties, so engaged in that particular aspect? What holds political parties back? Or is it an instance where, you know, national doesn't have so much control over what's going on regional, and you know, and you know, they don't have a hand on it?
I believe the political leaders they find themselves being not in control of what will be taking place in different places. However, one must say there is a good story that I've seen during the voter registration, wherein people from different political parties singing and dancing for a song of a certain political party, where in a car with a sound system will pass by, and they'll all dance to that actually a song which is played in that car, which was quite a very good thing. And we did not see incidents, if ever they were, but I think they really isolated, where in people were really together. Because apart from people being part of the political parties, they are also neighbors. They stay together in one township or in one street. So when there are no elections, one will slaughter a beast and others will come and have a feast together, and there will be no political infightings in such cases. However, in certain periods, especially this time around, as I've indicated, that there are some isolated incidents, though, that we have learned, wherein the intolerance in certain areas, wherein people believe that you are a dominating party here, political party here, when then you see a political party that you never thought that would be campaigning in your area, you will try to resist that political party. Others, they will use even the violent a means of doing, like recently today in the evening, I got an information of someone who just came when seeing colors of a certain a transport of a political party, a shot twice on the air to try and intimidate those who were actually campaigning in that area. You see, there are those wherein you'll find that they are alone, there is no leader, but leaders have, in fact, a responsibility to educate their members whenever they have sessions, starting with their leaders who are closer to the ordinary membership of a political party. They have that responsibility of educating them so as to understand really that is not all lost when your political party does not make it for a particular time. So you cannot intimidate or even attack another person by a virtue of belonging to a different political party than yours, because it's all about democracy. It's all about actually ensuring that we have government who will serve the people.
Sure. Tami Ntuli, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on to Power Perspective.
No, thank you very much, Denzel, and to your team in the studio, in particular, your good listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tami Ntuli, of course, is SALGA, and he is SALGA chairperson down in KZN, always talking and beating that drum about peace and democracy and getting the municipalities to work, because ultimately that is what SALGA stands for, local government in essence.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.